We're doing the Rambam Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, the fifth chapter. We're up to the third halakha. And what we had seen thus far in this chapter is that everyone's commanded on the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, that stems from the verse, V'nikadashti b'toch v'nei Yisrael, and we have a prohibition of Chilal Hashem. And the example he gave is if a pagan tries to force a Jew to transgress one of the mitzvos or give up his life, so then he has to transgress and not give up his life, because the Torah says the Torah is about life. And if he transgressed, the Rambam holds that is a sin. He's going to be taken to task over that. There are three exceptions: Vodah Zara, Gilei Arayos, and Shvichas Damim, idol worship, living with women that's prohibited, a married woman, etc., his sister, his daughter, etc., or murder. For one of those three sins, one has to rather give up their life than transgress one of those. And if we said all of this is provided that he's being forced to transgress for the benefit of the pagan. But let's say the whole purpose of forcing him to transgress is to show everyone, look, I got a Jew to transgress this mitzvah. So then we say that's an aspect of Chilul Hashem, but it only falls into that realm if it's in the presence of 10 Jews. So if 10 Jews are present, and the sole purpose for causing the Jew to transgress is to show I got him to go against the mitzvahs of the Torah, then he has to rather give up his life and die on Kiddush Hashem. If there are not 10 Jews present, so then if it's any mitzvah other than the big three, then he should not give up his life, even though he's doing it just to show that he's transgressing. So again, the big three, a person has to give up his life on regardless. The other mitzvos, then it depends. If the non-Jew is doing it for his own benefit, so then even if there are 10 Jews present, we do it. If he's doing it to prove a point, to show, ha, you see, they don't keep the mitzvot, so that's a desecration of God's name, and then it depends. With 10 Jews present, he should rather give up his life, and if there are not 10 Jews present, so then, being that it's not really a chilul Hashem because there aren't 10 Jews present, and it's not one of the big three, so then we say, even though the non-Jew's intent is to show that he is transgressing the mitzvot, he should still transgress rather than die. Yeah.
That's a good question.
It seems the former rather than the latter rather than the former. Meaning, technically, Kiddush and Chilul Hashem is not only in front of 10, as we see in other instances, right? We just have to remember that we're learning Rambam here, and although much of the Shulchan Aruch goes after the Rambam, that's not true of everything, and so you can't apply this halachically till you learn the halacha. This is Maimonides' opinion, which is going to appear in halacha 80% of the time, but 20% is a big chunk. You got to know which 20% are not applied halachically. Yes?
Is that defining Shema?
Not yet. We're about to.
And if a Jew tries to force another Jew?
I think it would be the same. Yes?
In the absence of being able to read the Goy's mind when he tells the Jew to do something, that's a Chilul Hashem in front of 10 Jews, how can we really apply the halacha practically?
I don't know, but I think you have to estimate, meaning you look at the indicators that are around. If he benefits, he tells you, I want you to build my house on Shabbos. So the assumption is, he's doing it for his own benefit. If it's something where he benefits nothing, then I guess you see the reason, you have the context, which usually is indicative of what's going on. But I'm not sure. Not sure. Yeah?
Why is it those three sins that we have to give our life?
So technically this is derived from the Torah, so whatever reason we're going to give is something that's after the fact. Meaning, God has his logic. And from our perspective, I think we can understand the logic behind it. I think it's fairly inclusive when you think about these mitzvot. One is monotheism. I mean, that's the basis of everything. If you give up on that, then there's nothing. The second one is the most basic element of moral society, that there are certain relationships that are going to be sacred, and that at some point you say, I'm not going to break the moral fiber of society, and that's also what holds true for murder. Now, it's interesting that you see here how we view intimacy, meaning we don't view it as just an act that can bring a child to the world. You see that Judaism views it as something very, very sacred, to the point where the Torah says you have to be willing to give up your life rather than defile someone else's wife or one's own daughter or one's own mother or sister or etc.
The two of them are, you know, from the Ten Commandments, but
that's not what makes it so. Meaning, you have Ten Commandments, and you don't have to give up your life for Shabbos. You don't have to give up your life for honoring your parents. I think the logic is pretty self-explanatory, that these are really the basic fibers of moral society. But that's speaking after the fact. I mean, the Torah doesn't say this is why. The Torah just teaches us these halachos. Halacha Gimel. I just have one question before we continue, and that is, Mike, did you get a plate? Ah, good. Okay. Say that. V'chol ha'dvarim ha'ilu. And all these things that we said, that a person should transgress rather than giving up their life, that's provided shelo bishat ha'gzerah, that there isn't what David referred to earlier, shmad, that there isn't a decree with the sole purpose to get us to leave our religion. Aval bishat ha'gzerah, but if the kingdom put out a decree, v'hu, and that is in the following circumstance, for example, shi'amod melech rasha ken buchanetzar v'chaverav, for example, if a wicked king like Nebuchadnezzar and his friends takes control, ve'igzog zerah l'Yisrael levatel datam, and he makes a decree with the purpose of annulling our religion, o mitzvah min ha-mitzvot, or his purpose is they will stop performing this mitzvah, no more circumcisions, like the Greeks decreed or the Romans. So then we say, ah, now you're fighting our religion? So the government is making a decree against our religion. Then, even though it's one of those mitzvahs which are not one of the big three, yahareg ve'al yavor afilu al achat mishar mitzvot, the person has to be willing to give up their life rather than transgress even one of the other mitzvot, ben ne'enas betoch asara, ben ne'enas beno leven ovdei kochavim, be it in private or in public. This isn't only about the Kiddush Hashem, I'm standing in front of 10. This is something that the government decreed against us. And then the halacha says the Rambam, a person has to be willing to give up their life, even for one of the other mitzvahs. Like the Gemara tells us, one time they decreed whoever puts on tefillin will get bashed in their skull. So, the rabbis went ahead putting on tefillin publicly even. They decreed if someone teaches Torah, they'll get killed. So Rabbi Akiva goes in the center of town and starts teaching publicly. They decreed that if someone gives smicha, if he gives halacha, rabbinic ordination to any disciples, so then they'll destroy the whole town that he's near. So along goes, who was it? Rabbi Yehuda ben what? Ben Baba, I think. He went in between two big cities, and he went between the two major cities, and he ordained five disciples there.
Why did I think Yochanan ben Zakkai had five disciples?
He also had five disciples. Yeah, you had a question, David?
Yeah. Did they destroy them?
No, but they did come and kill him. What was his name? Ram Zachur Oto Aish Latov Ve. I forgot what his name is. Okay.
We're also commanded to be willing to give up somebody else's life. Like they say, do this or not in Shema.
do one of the three big.
Let's wait and see here at the Rambam. Kol, no, it's a good question. Kol mishene malbo yavo val yareg. Anyone that's in a circumstance where he should transgress rather than be killed. V'ne'erag v'lo avar, and he gives up his life and he does not transgress when he should have transgressed. He should not have given up his life. Hareza mitchayev b'nafsho. So then in heaven they hold him accountable for his own life. He shouldn't have done it. Now we discussed that other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam on this. One of the hard points in this area of Malacha is, if you ask a rabbi, I want to be machmir. What's called being machmir? According to the Rambam, being machmir is not giving up your life. According to other Rishonim, being machmir is giving up your life. I want to do the more stringent thing. What's more right? Okay? David in the Beis Yosef, it's quoted a story that there was a time when the church was abducting Jewish children and taking them into the church, ensuring that they'd grow up as Christian, taking them from their parents. And there was a man who was slaughtering the babies rather than give them to the church. And the rabbis sent him a letter saying, you have no right to do what you're doing. And if I am right, you will die an unnatural death. And it's quoted that the way he died was that the Christians slit his flesh and stuck sand in between his skin and his flesh, and that's how he died. They just filled him with sand.
Religion
what?
Religion alone.
You asked. I think that addresses your question. V'chol mi she'ne'emar bo yareg v'al yavor. And anyone that the halacha says should rather die than transgress, any one of the instances we described, v'ne'erag v'lo avar, and he gave up his life rather than transgressing in accordance with halacha, hareza kidesh tashem, that's called he sanctified God's name. And addressing your question, Yehuda, v'imaya be'asara mi'Yisrael, hareza kidesh tashem berabim. If he did it with 10 people, that's called kiddush Hashem berabim. If he did it alone, so then that's still a kiddush Hashem. Kedaniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Ve'Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Ve'Chaverav. Like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, who were willing to give up their life rather than bow to the idol. Here you see the Rambam includes Daniel with them, even though in the Navi it doesn't record that Daniel was present. Rabbi Akiva and his friends. Ve'ilu en harugei malchut, and these are the people that the Talmud calls harugei malchut, those that were killed by the authorities, she'en ma'alal ma'alatan, that the Talmud tells us that different people went into a coma or had moments of death and then they came to. And when they went to heaven, so they saw what was going on there. When they came back, they told us that one of the things that were declared in heaven is that those that were killed by the empire, those that were killed with this reason, that they held on to the basics of Judaism and gave up their life rather than transgress, like Rabbi Akiva and the others, there was a declaration that no one gets above them. So that's this level. Balehen ne'emar, and about them the verse says, Ki alecha horagnu kol hayom nechshavnu ketzon tivcha. The Jewish people say to God, we've been murdered daily over you, and we've been treated like sheep taken to slaughter. Balehem ne'emar, and about these people who had to give up their life rather than transgress, the as we discussed earlier, about them the verse says, Ispuli chasidai, gather to me my pious ones, kotei v'riti alei zabach, who've made my covenant over slaughter. V'chol mish ne'emar bo yarek v'al yavor. Now what about a person who is faced with the challenge that he was faced with the responsibility to give up his life rather than transgress. And he didn't stand up to the test. He transgressed. And he did not give up his life. He has desecrated Hashem's name. And if there were 10 Jews present, then he desecrated Hashem's name publicly if there were 10 Jews present. And he has foregone, he has annulled a proactive commandment of sanctifying Hashem's name, and he transgressed the prohibition of desecrating Hashem's name. Ve'afal piken, and even though he did what was wrong, he did not stand up to the test. Mipnei she'aval be'ones, being that he was forced to transgress, he should have given up his life, but nonetheless he was forced. En malkinoto, we don't hit him for it. Ben tzich lomar she'en mimitinoto betin. And we don't even have to say that Beisdin wouldn't execute him. Afilu harag be'ones. Even if he murdered, technically a person would get killed for committing a murder. Even if his crime was murder, being that he was forced to do it, we wouldn't punish him. That's not in our court's hands to do. They told him, kill or get killed. He should have gotten killed, but he didn't. He killed. Says the Rambam, even so, our courts can't touch him.
That seems to place murder on a higher level.
In a certain sense, it is. Meaning the other ones, the Talmud quotes a verse, and about murder, the Talmud says you don't need a verse, it's obvious. Because we will only punish a person with lashes or the death penalty if he transgressed willfully with witnesses and a warning, because it says about a person who gives his children to be burnt in front of the idol Molech. God says, I will focus on that man to punish him. We have a tradition that we learn from how who I will focus on that man to punish him. That's a person who gives willfully, but a person who, that's to the exclusion of someone who was forced, who did it by mistake, a person who was misinformed. He did it without understanding what was really going on. And if idol worship, which is more stringent than everything, if someone was forced and he served idol worship, they put a gun to his head and say, bow or we'll kill you. He should have not bowed, but if he did, he doesn't get kares. God says, I will not cut him off from the Jewish people for doing it. Then tzich lomar mitat betin, and it's superfluous to say that we can't execute him for doing it. Kal v'chomer l'shar mitzvot amurot b'torah. Even more so when it comes to other mitzvos. Yeah.
You're saying shi'ir chamura min hakol.
Yeah. So maybe he means after I discussed murder. Meaning he's saying, what about other mitzvos and other mitzvos of shmad and other mitzvos? Maybe. Yeah.
Does it apply to like fake religions? Like if there's something called like the flying spaghetti monster?
I don't think we should go off on tangents, because we should see what the Rambam has to say, and this isn't halacha lemaisa anyways. I mean, it is halacha lemaisa, but we're not learning it halacha lemaisa, and we pray it shouldn't. We shouldn't be faced with these challenges. Uvarayot umer velanara lo tase davar. And when it comes to the prohibited relations, it says, what happens if a girl was raped? So the Torah says, don't do anything to her. It's not her fault. It was against her will. So you see, when something's done against someone's will, the Torah says, don't touch them. The courts down below shouldn't touch them. Avalim yacholim alit nafsho velivroach mitachat yad ha-melech ha-rasha. But if he could escape from under this wicked king, ve'ino se, and he doesn't do that, hinehu kechelev shaval keod, and he's like a dog that keeps coming back to its own vomit. How come he's coming back? He's forced, I understand, but why is he sticking around? And the Rambam here is really giving it in to the Jews that lived under the Yemenite rule and under the different Muslim rules, that at his time they were forcing Jews to convert, be it in Morocco, be it in Yemen. And the Rambam and his father kept telling people, you have to leave. You don't have a right to stay here and say, well, I'm forced to testify that Muhammad was a real prophet. If you didn't give up your life rather than convert, so I'm not telling you you're a non-kosher Jew. But I am saying that you better leave. You have no right to stick around and keep saying, well, what can I do? What can you do, says the Rambam. There are certain things you do have to give up your life for. And B, you have no right to stick around in such a situation. And the Rambam himself did it, and his father did it. So that's just a backdrop to the scene of this Rambam. We'll just add the final point the Rambam makes in this halacha, v'hu nikra oved avodat kochavim b'mezid. And someone who remains in such a country when he has the option, when he can leave, that's called someone who's serving idol worship purposely. And he will be pushed out of the world to come. And he will visit the bottom rung, the bottom step of perdition. Yeah.
So, I would say that Islam does not sound like it's okay for Kofavim. It sounds more like you can trade on that level.
So that we have to discuss when we learn about that. Fine.
Is that a reasonable shita that some people have?
Well, if what they're doing is telling the Jews to convert to Islam,
yes,
meaning so that's shmat. So then there's a decree to get us to leave our religion. So then over the smallest mitzvah, we have to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do it, right? So even if you'll tell me Islam isn't idol worship, that still doesn't permit a person to to do that. That's shmad. Then it becomes shmad. Shmad is when they're trying to get a Jew to leave his religion, or the Jewish people to leave their religion.
It's the government's decree.
The government's decree, yeah.
Not even if it's
correct. Then even on the smallest thing, we'd have to stand up and fight.
This was, of course, a situation where they were not allowing the Jews to continue practicing Judaism also.
Well, no. So what the Jews claimed in Yemen was, well, at home we're Jews. Outside we go to the mosques and stuff like that, and externally they just want us to say that we're Muslims, but internally we're continuing to practice as Jews. And that deserves a broader discussion, which we had when we learned the Rambam Zegeres Teiman, which is all available on torahforme.org. And if you guys choose, we could learn it again in our Friday class. Nashim Shamulem of Dekochavim, we're up to a very interesting halacha. We know that we're not allowed to give someone else up. What about if women are surrounded by pagans and they say to them, "Tnu lanu achat miken, v'ntame ota." We want to defile one of the women. Give over one. V'im lo netame et kulchen. And if not, we'll defile all of you. So the halacha says, "Yitamu kulan v'alim sulem nefesh achat miyisrael." They can't give someone else over, even if it means that that the pagans will stick to their word and defile all of them. They can't give someone else up. And the same thing is true if they say, give us one that we want to kill. And if you don't give one Jew over, we'll kill all of you. Even if they don't stand a chance, they don't have weapons and the pagans do, and it means that they could mow them all down, they cannot give over one of them. But what happens if the pagans say, we want him? They point to someone specific. Onaroget kulchem, give him up, or we're killing everyone. Im haya mechuyav mita kesheva ben Bichri, if that one really deserved the death penalty, like Sheva ben Bichri, who rebelled against King David, and when David's men surrounded the city, they said, "We're going to take down the whole city if you guys don't give him up." He rebelled against the king; he deserves the death penalty. Either give him up, or we're killing all of you. So in such an instance, yitnu oto lahem, being that he deserved the death penalty, so then they give him up rather than endanger all of them. Ve'en morin lahem ken lechatchila, but we don't tell them that halacha lechatchila. Ve'im eino chayav mita, yargu kulan v'yimsru lahem nefesh achat miyisrael. And if they're not chayav misa, if that person really does not deserve the death penalty, then they all have to give up their lives rather than giving one person up. Okay, to be continued next week, Mizrachim.
What if